Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
In the midst of seemingly overwhelming odds against us, we do not despair. In the darkest of nights, in the fieriest of furnaces, in the deepest of waters, we believe that our God is able to do the impossible. And that great truth strengthens our hearts and it deepens our love for this great God.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. When your prayers are being answered and life is going smoothly, it's easy to trust in God. But what about those moments in life when God doesn't deliver in the way you'd hoped? What happens to your faith in the midst of pain and devastation? Today, we're exploring these difficult questions as we continue our study in Daniel. Here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce our lesson titled, Trusting God in the Fire.
Today, we continue the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are Israeli captives living in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar has commanded everyone to bow down to a huge image of himself or be thrown into the fiery furnace, but they refuse. They take a stand for God. They believe that God is able to deliver them, but even if he doesn't, they will not compromise their faith. God's way is perfect. Therefore, trust God in all situations. Our great God has done something even greater than deliver us from the fiery furnace. He's given us Jesus Christ as our Savior to deliver us from our sins. So let's see what happens when these men trust God in the fire.
Daniel 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Tremendous words, aren't they? I want us to learn, first of all, this morning, trust God, even when you don't know his purposes and plans. Trust God, even when you don't know his purposes and his plans. Notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not question the power of God to deliver them. Verse 17. "If this is so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." They do not question the power of God to deliver. They know that the true and the living God, the creator of the universe, is much more powerful than these false gods of Babylon. They don't question his power. But notice, although they don't question God's power, they are submissive to God's purposes. This is key. They don't question God's power, but they're submissive to God's purposes. Verses 17 and 18 are key. They don't bow to the image, but they do bow before God. "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," that's it. "But if not," if he doesn't deliver it, "we want you to know this, O king, that we still will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." What a great truth. God has the power to deliver us. And we believe that he will deliver us, but if not, we still believe in God. We still believe that God and God alone is sovereign. They are prepared to accept the will of God for their lives, even if that means death itself. They trust in God. What's the lesson for you and me? It's very simple to state, very difficult to accept in the ups and downs and the fiery trials of life. Trust God at all times and in all situations. So here's the key question. Are you willing to trust God and depend on God and commit your whole life to God even when his purposes are different from your own desires? Now that's hard, isn't it? That's mature faith. To trust God even when you don't know his purposes and plans. It is true that sometimes God delivers us from the fire, but at other times he delivers us through the fire. What would you prefer? Of course, to be delivered from the fire. Who wants to be in the fire? But in either circumstance, God is able. And in all cases, we must, as our Savior did in the Garden of Gethsemane, submit to him and say, not my will, but thine be done. Because we know this, that our sovereign God, our all-wise God, our all-loving God is working out his purposes in our life. It is true, as the Apostle Paul could say, that all things work together for good to those who love God. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And as I commit my life to Christ, and as you commit your life to Christ, we have this assurance that even in the midst of the fire, that God is at work, and God is, miraculously, in ways that we don't understand, in the enigmas and mysteries and riddles of life, and the unexpected situations that come to us so quickly in a split second and can turn our lives upside down. In all cases, God is in control. How do you respond when God chooses not to answer your prayer? You believe that God is able to heal, but if not? You believe that God is able to turn around that dreadful situation in your life, but if not? You believe that God is able to touch the heart of that special person in your life, but if not? God, sometimes for his own reasons and purposes, does not deliver, does not heal, does not act in the way that we desire. But we must never ever demand that God does something for us. That God must act in a certain way because that's what I want. I remember watching one of these TV preachers on television, and he was saying to the congregation that they should all throw away the hearing aids that they had. I really should try that sometime, shouldn't I? If you got a hearing aid, throw it away, God's going to heal you. And I thought, that's amazing. Such preaching, if we could call it that, removes all mysteries from our faith. It reduces faith to a second-rate salesman making a pitch and demonstrating that they believe that they are in charge of their life rather than the lesson that we've learned over and over again in Daniel, that God and God alone is in charge. And that God is sovereign. And that the God who made us has plans and purposes for our lives. And sometimes he graciously reveals them to us. But so often the Christian life and so much of life is a step by step daily trusting on God. That will keep me humble and that will keep me looking to God, who I must acknowledge is in charge. And to trust God in these circumstances in a very real sense is even greater faith. God is able to deliver us out of the fire and take us out of that situation. But what if not? God is able to do anything. God is able to do the impossible. We understand that. We understand his power. But let's humbly acknowledge that we do not always understand his purposes and his plans. But will you today trust God? You're in the fire. You've called out to God and he hasn't responded the way you want. You would like to. Will you now humble yourself and accept God's will and God's purposes for your life? During World War II, an army chaplain wrote, "Is there such a thing as getting the breaks in prayer? What about the fellow who prays regularly but gets killed regularly? I wish people would stop writing about the soldiers who pray and have their prayers answered by not getting killed. Why do all of the other soldiers seem to get the wrong answer? What I want to know is this. What sort of an extra special superpowered prayer is needed to make everything turn out the way that you want it?" That sounds facetious, almost irreverent, but I'm serious. I really want to know. I'm an army chaplain, and I could use some special prayers with my men, and heaven knows we need them badly at times, because the fact is, there are always more men who pray to come back than there are men who get back, quite a lot more. What is the deciding factor? The thing for all of us to remember is this: someone else does the answering. What you have in mind may not be what God has in mind. If you ask him something, you must be willing to take what he gives. That's why I'm a bit depressed by the writings of those who try to get other people to pray by telling them that you get what you want. People must learn to want what they get. When I talk to soldiers about prayer, I try to tell them that they must be adults. God expects us to be men. Only children demand a happy ending to every story. How old must we be before we begin to realize that even prayer can't get us everything we want unless the thing we want is right for us to have? Who gets the breaks in prayer? Nobody. There's no such thing. We get what God in his infinite love and foreknowledge sees fit to give. That's not always the same as getting what we want, but it ought to be. Here's the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Do you know the first thing you feel emotionally when some fiery trial comes into your life? Why me? What have I done to deserve this? Don't be surprised, says Peter, when you find yourself in the fiery trial. They're going to come to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. As Martin Luther said, no man ever suffered like Christ. He knew the fiery trial. Job says, but he knows the way I take. When he's tried me, I shall come out as gold. The purifying process of the fire. When we're in the fire, it's very, very difficult. And we feel like giving up. But God is working and purifying us, says Job, and we come out as gold. You may be going through the fire right now. I know some of you are. You say, when's it all going to be over? I don't know. I can't answer that question. There are mysteries in the Christian life. One of the most frequent questions I'm asked as a pastor is why? Why? And usually I have no answer. The simple answer is that we don't know. We simply don't know God's purposes often, but we are to keep trusting our loving Heavenly Father. He is in control. He loves you. He's with you in the fire, in the storm, in the dark night. And that God's purposes, I guarantee, are being worked out in your life in the midst of the difficulties, illness, economic disaster, problems, and relationships. Why? Because when these men were in the fire, as we learned last week, God was with them. Remember the four figures? Nebuchadnezzar says, I thought we just put three men in. Who's the fourth? Our God was with them in the midst of the fire. Someone recently sent me a card. Sometimes God calms the storm. That's what we want, isn't it? Calm the storm, Lord. But at other times, he calms the sailor. In the midst of the storm continues. But there is a peace that comes from knowing that God is still in control. And that storm, however fierce, however strong, will not overwhelm me because Christ is with me in that boat and gives us his peace and his strength. And in all cases, we must trust God with all of our heart. Trust God, even when his purposes and plans are not understood by you. He's in control. And he's all loving. Now, secondly, and very quickly as we conclude, the second lesson is this. Don't just be impressed by God. Trust him. Read with me from verse 28. The men are delivered, as we saw last week. Here's Nebuchadnezzar's conclusion. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now you say that was really good of Nebuchadnezzar, but think of it this way. Yes, he blesses the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's certainly tremendously impressed by their God. He unmistakably has seen God at work. But notice this, and we'll see this in the next chapter. Nebuchadnezzar still does not place his personal trust in this God, or recognize that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the only true and living God. When we come to Daniel 4, which we'll look at next week, Lord willing, what do we see in Nebuchadnezzar? A man of humility, a man whose trust is in the Lord? No, a man of arrogance, a man of great pride. Impressed by God, yes, Nebuchadnezzar was, but no personal faith in God. I'm saying to you today, don't just be impressed by God. Trust him with all of your heart. The great English Puritan John Owen describes someone traveling and being caught in a violent storm of thunder and rain. He goes to a house for shelter, but as soon as the storm is over, he goes back to his own way of living. That, says John Owen, is like a man in bondage to sin. The law of God meets him with a storm of lightning and thunder. He's temporarily afraid and changes his course, but only for a time. As soon as the storms of his life are over, he goes back to his own way. Can you relate to that? Of course you can. We've all done that, haven't we? We've been in some very, very difficult situation. We cried out to God and we said, God, if you get me out of this spot, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to start tithing. That's a good one, isn't it? But the storm in the life goes over and the blue sky comes and our life goes back to normal. And we forget what we said in the midst of the storm. Nebuchadnezzar is like that. He's like the football coach who had a chaplain on the sidelines. And someone said to the coach, about it, why have you got a chaplain on the sidelines when your team is playing? He said, well, I don't know if there's a God or not, but if there is a God, I want him on my side. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Has God got your attention in the past? But you're only temporarily impressed. You've seen God at work, but there has been no real, deep, radical change within you. You remember King Herod in the New Testament? He enjoyed listening to John the Baptist, but he was never converted. Or King Agrippa loved to listen to Paul, who was this brilliant speaker. Impressed? Yes. Change? No. How like us? You've seen God at work in the lives of others. You might even enjoy coming to church. You enjoy listening to the music, perhaps even hearing the word of God. But you're only impacted temporarily. Perhaps only at the emotional level. And when the storm goes over, when you get out of the fiery furnace, you go back to your old life. You live, let's face it, as a practical atheist. You see, when it comes right down to it, you have not yet made that personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You still want to be in control of your life. You still want to be in charge. Today I'm saying to you, don't just admire Jesus Christ. He doesn't want your admiration. He wants your trust. He wants your commitment. He is the only way of salvation. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. And the message of Daniel is that there is only one God. Many false gods in Babylon. Many false gods in our society today that we worship at. But God and God alone must be acknowledged as sovereign, that he is in charge. And in his great love, what has he done? He sent our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. To do what? To go into the fire and the judgment of God for you. On the cross, our Savior experienced the darkest of hours, the fieriest of fires, the deepest of waters, so that your sins and mine, which are so abundant, can be forgiven. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your gods. Don't bow down to the pressures of this world, whatever they are for you, but open your heart and your life and receive Christ, who will forgive your sins, who will cleanse you, who will give you eternal life, who will give you that power, that supernatural power to live for him and to be the very person that God has for you. This God who made you has plans and purposes for your life. Will you submit yourself to them, even in the difficulties, in the fire, in the darkness, and trust him and love him and serve him with all of your heart? Yes, we've learned from Daniel 3 that God is able. Therefore, trust him. If he's able to do all things, trust him. Don't just be impressed by him. Don't be a spectator admiring what God is doing in the lives of others. Don't just envy people of faith. Take a step. Yes, you personally today, if you've never done it, and commit your life to Christ and receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And trust this God who's able to do all things. And trust him, yes, when we don't understand his purposes and plans. Trust him in the midst of the fire. Trust him in the midst of your pain this morning. Trust him in the midst of your confusion and hurt and devastation and bereavement. He has promised to be with us in the middle of life's fiery trials. He's all loving. He cares for you. Cast your burdens on him, and he's working all things for your good and for his glory. If you're in the fire, don't give up. Don't be bitter against God. Love and serve him and trust him with all of your heart, because God is well able to resolve that difficult situation of yours. But even if he doesn't, we will still trust him. God is able to deliver from my weariness and pain, and he will deliver swiftly if it be for lasting gain. But if not, my heart shall sing, trusting wholly in my King. God is able to defend me from my foes who throng around me, and he will defend me surely when the rage and hate abound. But if not, I'll bless his name and confess him just the same. God is able to supply me with abundance from his store, and he will supply my table, though the wolf be at the door. But if not, my heart shall rest in the thought he knoweth best. God is able to save dear ones from the world and self and sin, and he will both save and keep them in his fold safe gathered in. But if not, he'll hold my hand, teaching me to understand. Trust God, this God who is able to do the impossible. Trust this God, even when you don't know his purposes.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, Trusting God in the Fire. And before we hear John's closing remarks, we'd like to offer you his newest booklet called Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. In it, John provides a clear and careful examination of the teaching of Jesus on issues ranging from marriage and divorce to gender and sexual identity. If you're a follower of Christ or simply someone looking for guidance, we invite you to look for answers in the Word of God. So request your free copy of Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender by mail or download when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're online, we also want to invite you to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict. With your donation of any amount, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today. Whether it's $5, $50, less or more, it's easy to give today when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And then if you haven't already, be sure to check out The Verdict podcast, available from wherever you get your podcasts. As a special bonus, John has added a new weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he'll be sharing his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics each Tuesday. You can check out this new program today by going to The Verdict podcast. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you learned to trust God whatever the cost and to leave the consequences to him? Believe that God is able. He's able to perform that miracle in your life. But will you say, as we learned today, but if not, he will hold my hand, teaching me to understand. Whether he delivers us from the fire or through the fire, God is able. Trust God, even when you don't know his plans. Next time, we see the pride of King Nebuchadnezzar and learn some amazing lessons.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.